Good morning, Zion family. Good morning. It is good to see you. Good to be together. Some of us are still waking up a little bit. Some of us might be grumbling a little bit. What does she mean, good morning? And some of us here are ready to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. And many of us are lonely. Many of us here are anxious. How could we not be anxious at such a time as this? It can feel like the sky is falling. We've got stock market prices plummeting, gas prices skyrocketing, COVID continually inventing itself, reinventing itself. Heartbreaking news in our world. And some of you are thinking, where is she going with this? I'm not feeling any better. But there's more trouble that we can focus on. What about our planet? Devastating heat waves. A consumeristic society that is never satisfied and doesn't care who else is harmed by our choices, even if it's us. And so we keep on overspending and overdoing and overeating, trying to fill up in us what is lacking. I didn't even get to politics or the church or all the things happening in our personal lives. We have more trouble in our lives than we can keep track of. But we try. Have any of you ever had that experience of being in a good mood and then you remember, wait a minute, I was upset about something, and you try to mentally go back and figure out what that was that you were upset about? I'm seeing some of you all do this too. We try to keep track of all that's broken. On the drive to the doctor's office when my kids were little, I would do this mental inventory, going through them from head to toe, thinking through if they were physically well in every way, if they were healthy, mentally and emotionally, okay, they're doing well. Socially, they're doing okay. And I would do this inventory so focused on looking for a problem that I couldn't see or celebrate all that was healthy and good. So the story that my life told was off because I was focused on what might go wrong. So today we're going to call that singing the wrong song, telling ourselves something that isn't true until we believe it, and then sadly our lives reflect it. If we try to keep track of all that's broken, then all that we can see is what is broken. And we wonder why we're so unhappy. If we try to keep track of all that might go wrong, we end up wondering, why are we so miserable? And I'm not saying don't use the benefit of medicine and good therapy. Sometimes those are absolutely needed. But more focused for us today, God invites us to a new way. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. But first, sometimes it's our understanding of Scripture that's broken. Maybe there was that one time where we tried reading Scripture and it just didn't speak to us, or it didn't make sense. And because we felt so alone, or for 100 different reasons, we stopped. We think of Scripture as such an ancient book, as though it has nothing to say to us today. And that's broken thinking. Let me show you. Verse 2 and 3 describe a crashing of the earth. It says, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, everything around them is crashing. Can we relate to a world that seems like it's falling apart? There have been over 2 million hectares of forest loss this year and over 20 billion tons of CO2 emissions just this year. Kevin and all the great people working at Mennonite Disaster Service have job security that they don't want because of the endless natural disasters. Our world is crashing too. Maybe your world crashing has more to do with your work or your health or someone that you love. And I encourage us to study the rest of this psalm because there's so much more than we can go into today. But the person who requested that I preach on this really wanted me to focus on the first three verses. So I'm trying to honor that, even as I keep the full psalm in mind. You may be wondering whether this psalm is physical, whether the crashing is physical, or whether it's poetic. Well, if the writer meant this physically, I could not overstate the seriousness of this crashing. I learned this week that in the Near Eastern culture, they believed that the mountains held up the sky, and also that the mountains brought stability to the raging of the water. And so mountains crashing into the heart of the sea is as bad as it can get. Their stability is gone. What they trust in is gone. Or maybe the writer, inspired by God, was writing a poem as an analogy to the crashing they experienced in battle. There are a handful of psalms, including this one, that are called Songs of Zion that focus praise on the city of Jerusalem. This psalm is a song, a prayer, used for worshiping God together. And that's a better song to sing. In the Reformation, which was its own time of crashing, this song of Psalm 46 inspired Martin Luther to write the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which we sang earlier. This hymn has been translated into nearly 200 languages. Luther was a young Catholic priest who was upset in part because there was a claim that if you gave money to build a cathedral in Rome, your sins could be forgiven. Misplaced trust. It is by grace that we are saved through Christ. Everything from God is a gift and not earned. So here is a connection through all these years. Since before Christ, when the psalmist wrote this song for God's people, through until the Reformation, when Luther wrote this hymn for God's people, until now with the song Seth Christman recently wrote on these verses. As the world not just turns, but crashes around us, our invitation has always been to sing together our trust in God. We don't only sing when our trouble is gone. We sing in our trouble. The verse says, God is an ever-present help in trouble. Isn't that a remarkable grace that amid the many troubles we face, God is present and our help? Someone here began teaching me this years ago. It made me weep for days. This person was going through a heart-wrenching challenge, and as we were walking together, there was this one solitary red rose climbing up the side of a building, and this person, with all that they were going through, stopped and took in the beauty of this rose and bent forward to take in its sweet fragrance, allowing God to be a refuge and a strength to that person in a way that they could understand. We sing in our trouble because of who God is. A refuge is a shelter. That means there will be storms around us. Thank you, Patty. God being our strength means we have weaknesses. I keep being reminded of Isaiah 41 that talks about the idols that people worshiped. They bowed down to these objects, expecting something they had made with their hands to save them. Isaiah says they would even nail down the idol so that it would not topple. That is so funny to me. Can you just picture, like, nailing down an idol? expecting it to save you. We work so hard to focus on the wrong thing. The goal isn't to live a life worthy of social media or any other idol. The goal is to live a life worthy of Christ, to place our trust in God who is able. So what if we spent a little less effort nailing down our idols and focused instead on the nails that were in Christ? God used those nails to give us life. And yet we choose to ignore it. And even in this, God is bigger than our troubles. For hundreds of years, while the world around us crashes, the people of God have joined together in song. And this is God's word for us today. Sing together. Worship God. Let me show you. We talked about the crashing of the earth in this text, and I shared with you that this psalm is a song used when God's people came together. Now notice what the beginning of verse 2 says. Therefore, we will not fear. We were not made to slog our way through on our own, even for those of us who are more introverted or independent. We have the tremendous privilege and call to journey together, to encourage one another, to help each other learn to stand when the world around us is crashing. Think of the difference that it makes to the watching world when the church stands together. Here's a quick illustration. Picture a church that is hurtful to each other, where gossip and fear rule. What do outsiders see? Now picture a church where people love one another and are centered in Christ, where God's mission rules. What do outsiders see? And which story do we want to tell? What is our next step in telling that story? Our lives are not our own. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And if we want to get there, following Christ, picking up our cross, proclaiming that God's kingdom has come near, then keep encouraging and caring for one another. This is our song, Zion. Jesus has transformed us into people who love and who are focusing on Christ. God is a mighty fortress, our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. By God's tremendous grace, when the world is crashing around us, we can join in the song of God's followers, encouraging one another in faith, not in fear. This past weekend, Zion hosted the Virginia Mennonite Conference Assembly here. And we could have focused on all of the crashing around us and within us. We could have focused on all that might go wrong. And instead, by grace, we listened deeply to one another. We heard people with differing perspectives on disputable matters share their love for God and their hope for God's church. And we sang together, worshiping God who is an ever-present help in trouble. We are going to practice this in two ways together. First, I am going to pray over us. And second, we are going to sing a song of praise to God. Right now, there is a pew or a wheelchair or a sofa for persons online that is underneath us. And our weight is fully resting on the furniture. We don't second guess the furniture. We trust. God's invitation for us is to be people who stand and worship together on the solid rock of Christ in faith. And so I invite us to stand now in body or in spirit together, even persons online. You're welcome to stand. And I invite us to bow our heads if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes. I invite you to lift up your hands with palms up in a posture of surrender. And God, we invite you to join our hearts together as we pray. God, you alone are our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We have known trouble in our lives in this place. We have simmered in trouble. We have waded into trouble. We've been overwhelmed by the crashing of the trouble around us. And yet you are a God who invites your people to join together in song, praising you. You have been teaching us to stand and sing together. We pray over the aching of our planet and the aching in our souls. I pray that you would keep toppling the idols that we have nailed down. Teach us more deeply what it means that you are our refuge and strength. Help us to focus more on Christ, to listen deeply to you, to drink from your wells of salvation, to be a people and a congregation that bounces back. I thank you for the ways you're already doing this in us. I thank you that you are present, that you are providing. And so as we stand together as one body with Christ as the head of this church, I invite you to deepen our faith, to rid us of all that separates us from one another and from you, to worship you alone. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.